What up, homies? It's your boy, Stev, and welcome to The Bracket.
Back in 2020, like most of the world, me and Ash didn't have a lot going on, so we decided to make a list of the 130 greatest movies of all time and pit them against each other, tournament style, to see which ones came out on top. We judged them against each other in five categories: production, writing, acting, originality, and rewatchability. Whichever movie took the most categories moved on. Don't get me wrong, it was rarely unanimous between us, but it was always a lot of fun. Just a heads up, we did record these a few years ago, so if the timeline feels a bit weird, that's why. If you want to check out the list of the 130 movies, I'll put a link to our website in the description below. So without further ado, let's all go back to the land of 2020, where all we did was sit at home, drink excessively, and watch flicks. Enjoy. Okay. All right. So I'm of the opinion that obviously in film, action is important, right? I mean, that's how it started, right? Moving pictures, no sound, just action. You know what I mean? Just people doing ridiculous things. Sorry, caught it.
You caught it?
It was the slightest, like...
It's like a turtle exhale. Like,
I could have said it was a cat or something, but it totally sounded like it.
Sorry, go on.
In my opinion, action is important. It's very rare that we get a movie that is just straight dialogue. Like, it's just people talking, but for some reason, it's so fucking engaging, right?
Right.
So, there's a particular two movies where I wanted to save these two movies and put them together because, in my personal opinion, they are two of the greatest scripts I've ever read. Okay. And what they have in common is they're just straight dialogue. Barely anything happens. Now, the sequel to one of these movies is even more dialogue heavy. At least the first one, like, other characters kind of interact with them. But still, I think these two movies are fantastically written. And I had to throw them on these lists. 12 Angry Men versus Before Sunrise.
Yep.
I think they're both fantastic. And, of course, we're talking about the 50s. 12 Angry Men, I believe it was 1957.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. It's just like, I love a movie that takes place in one room and somehow just keeps you fucking engaged.
Yeah.
Like, it's based off a play, obviously. Like, it's so obviously based off a play. And it's like, it's so good. Whereas, like, Before Sunrise, it all takes place over the course of one night, in one town, just them walking around, but at least they engage with other characters. So it's like, I could see how you would keep that script fresh as you're going. The sequel to Before Sunrise, called Before Sunset, it's literally just the two of them. And it's like, but it's even better. Like, it's an even better script, but I have this thing about sequels where it's like, I can't talk about Before Sunset without talking about Before Sunrise.
Right.
So what's the point of having Before Sunset on that list? You see what I'm saying? So,
right.
So the movies, this episode, Before Sunrise, and 12 Angry Men, 1957. Ashley, what did you think?
So I'll start off with Before Sunrise.
Okay.
This movie, actually, I was excited because I'm actually a fan of the director's work.
Oh, he's fantastic.
So School of Rock was a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Dazed and Confused.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, the most impressed movie, which is the most oddest, is Boyhood.
Oh, it's amazing.
I really love just how he scripted Boyhood and how Boyhood was done, and it fascinated me.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Boyhood is a very interesting production. It's a movie about a kid over the course of 12 years, and it's filmed over the course of 12 years.
So it's the exact same mother, father, and kid.
Also Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, which is...
playing the father.
Which is funny, because the whole movie I'm watching this, and I'm like... he looks so familiar.
Right.
And I couldn't pinpoint it. And he is the father from Boyhood.
Right.
But it followed because whenever Boyhood started, Ethan Hawke was probably the age that he was in Before Sunrise.
Yeah.
And just by the end, he was just an older man because he's 12 years later.
Yeah.
But just when you watch this movie, the whole, there's a daughter in it too, and you're just like, no one has the time or effort to put into a movie anymore for that. Mm-hmm. Every scene was a new year later with the same actor. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's actually funny. The girl who plays the daughter in that movie is actually Richard Linklater's daughter.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, she like apparently she asked him for the role. And he was like, all right, you could be the role, but you have to be it for 12 years. And then, of course, at like age 16, 17, she's like, just kill me off. Like, just I'm kind of sick of this.
Please, like, get rid of me. Yeah, I thought that movie was awesome. So I was super excited about it. Now, when we talked about Boyhood, we talked about Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
And your friend said, this is a movie about the people talking about nothing.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about this. I feel like the whole movie was pointless.
What? Okay.
The only reason how, to me, it would have actually worked for me and I might have actually enjoyed it is if they did not meet up again. That whole idea of, let's not say goodbye then. And then never, I would have liked it more. But okay. The fact that now there's two sequels, Before Sunset, Before Midnight, blip, 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 blip. Like, now I kind of lost it. I didn't like it. The idea of meeting a strange man, falling in love, making love, and then never seeing them again, that was a okay movie.
Yes.
But now the movie's just terrible. That's my opinion.
Well, that's how do you feel? That's unfortunate. Apparently. I really like this movie. And a lot of people do.
But so. You said the sequel was awesome.
They're both... I'm of the opinion that they're both really, really well-written movies. All three of them are very well-written movies. I'm just saying the second one is better written. I've read both scripts.
Right.
And seen both movies. And I'm just saying, like, oh, Before Sunset is so tight. It's such a tight... It's a perfect script.
Okay.
Whereas Before Sunrise, which is this one, is... it's a little more loosey-goosey. You know, it's a very little more like, oh, they're walking it. Oh, they meet this person. Okay, cool.
Oh, and
like,
the poem. Oh, the palm reader.
And here's the thing. I like, you know, you say it like, adds up to nothing. But I think it cleverly, like, illustrates both of these characters through conversation and through, like, interaction. Like, I love the palm reader comes over and... As soon as the palm reader leaves, she's like all into it. And he's such a dick about it. And then she calls him out for being a dick. And I love that he calls it. She calls him out for being a dick. And then he's like, is this our first fight? Like I love that. And then after the poem, he's walking away and he wants to say something. But she's like, what's the problem? And he's like, ah, it was a lovely poem. like he wants this because...
But he did. He's like, it's a stapled poem and he just can fit in any word in these two sentences.
100%. And that's the thing, like, he kind of said it, but then he like, oh, it was a lovely poem. It was fine. It was lovely. Like I do like, it's almost like he's learning. He's like, and I like that they're teaching each other a little bit. And I think it's a cute story.
So a couple of things. Let's talk about it really quickly. Me being... You know, a young girl, if I was single and I was in a different country or whatever, and a guy approached me on a train, I don't think there is anything that man could have said to put me off that train. So that already threw me off.
Okay, it's true. There are many a horror movies that start out like this. I'm pretty sure two of like the five Hostels start out like this.
Where I'm like, you got... And then his speech was better. Mm-hmm. I would have maybe got off because of his speech. More than if they went the generic, come on, what else do you gonna lose? Like, he's like, dude, I'm a fucking loser, just like every fucking loser boyfriend you ever dumped. But, come on, like, give me a chance. And I did like that, but no, that whole scenario. And I guess I read that they actually had a hard time writing that scene because they couldn't figure it out either.
Yeah, apparently she kept saying... Go back and like go away and come back with a completely different pickup line or whatever.
I would never get off the train with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, and once we find the one in which I'm actually feeling okay with getting off this train, that's the one we're going to use. And I like that. I think it's fun.
Also, I really liked was that I actually thought the entire movie was on the fly. It feels like that. And it wasn't.
No, it's very, apparently it's very meticulously written.
I didn't know that. Yeah, so like the whole movie, you're just like, oh, this is them talking about nothing.
Right. But that's actually a common theme with a lot of his movies, I find. I watched another one of his movies called Waking Life recently.
Okay.
And it's pretty much just a series of philosophical, sorry. It's pretty much just a series of like philosophical like scenes, right?
Okay.
And it's about this guy who he can't wake up. He's like stuck in a dream. And it's like he just keeps like hopping from like character to character to character, and each of these scenes are drawn by different animators, and it's like, it's an animated movie, and it's...
Oh, that was the ukulele movie.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, got it.
So it's from the same director, but every scene is just a different person's perspective on, like, life and dreams and, like, all of this stuff, and every time I watch it, I just assume it's that person, like, that person's a scientist or something, and they're just ranting about things.
Okay.
But after listening to the commentary for the movie, it's so meticulously scripted. Like, he wrote most of it himself, and, like, it's just so strange that, like, he's really good at writing things that sound realistic. I don't know how else to say it. Like, dialogue that sounds just, like, realistic. But here's the thing. With Before Sunrise... And the sequels, the subsequent sequels, he wrote the script, but then he got the two actors to write their dialogue. Like, again, like, rewrite it how you would write it.
Interesting.
So the two of them would, like, rewrite it and, like, kind of pitch it, and it was, like, rehearsed, like, insanely. Like, they rehearsed a lot to get it so natural, right?
Right.
And then, but it's actually funny, because they rewrote their own dialogue, when the first movie came out, Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy?
Yeah.
Delpy. They didn't get screen credit. They didn't get screenwriting credit, and they were super pissed about it. So for the sequels, he got them screen credit, like writing credit. And because of that, both of them are Oscar nominees, because both those scripts were nominated for Oscars after the fact. But
okay, because that was also another thing I wanted to say was, the two sequels, they each have, like, five different nominees.
Yep.
But yet the first one didn't. And I found that really weird, but now that kind of makes sense. I met Julie and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So they didn't... Yeah, so...
So I'm like, what? Because she got writer, blah, 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 actress, best kiss, whatever. And I'm like, what? Like, why isn't the first one? Well, yeah. I know the first one only made $5 million. Second one is 16, and the third one made 23.
Yeah. If adjusted for inflation, actually the first one made the most money in a way.
I heard that.
But
well, after the
yeah, yeah.
sequels, right.
But the first one's supposed to be a small movie, though, right? And that's, again, going back to this guy's filmography, that's kind of his first four movies were pretty much like that. They're very just people talking. Like,
School of Rock then must have been way really
late.
Different.
It's super late. So
no,
like,
but it was so different.
Oh,
like,
it is, yeah.
I cannot pinpoint Boyhood, this movie, and School of Rock as the same actor. All three movies are
the
so
director, yeah.
different.
They really are. Well, School of Rock, he had this like moment where he was doing studio movies. Like, he did Bad News Bears, the remake with Billy Bob Thornton.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
I love that movie.
That's fun. It's a fun movie, right? So he did that. He did School of Rock. He did a movie called, Bernie. That's, I don't know how like studio that is, but like, but he's done a lot of movies that are studio, but then he's done like a lot of little movies too. Like, he did a movie called Tape, and it's literally just three people in a motel room with a fucking store-bought camera. Like, stuff like that. Like, he's done a lot of like movies like that, right? Or like fucking Waking Life started, like, it kind of brought rotoscoping back, like, and then eventually went on to do A Scanner Darkly, rotoscoping. It's like a type of animation in which you film it, and then you go over the film with, like, animated. Like, you draw over the film.
Holy.
Yeah, so it's like meticulous, so it's like any sort of animation, except you're drawing actor,
but it takes double the time because you have to film it and then
exactly. But you could also do things like you could just film all the actors in a green screen or whatever,
or you can change the colors of the outfits, 100%. Or you can,
yeah.
And what was the second word you said? The second thing you said,
The second movie. So, the second movie he did that was rotoscoped was called A Scanner Darkly, which I fucking recommend to
you.
Yeah,
it's that was, can you say it slower?
A Scanner Darkly,
okay.
So, A and then Scanner and then Darkly.
Oh, A Scanner Darkly.
Yeah.
Okay.
It stars Keanu Reeves. Oh. Stars Keanu Reeves,
Robert Downey Jr., Woody Harrelson, and Winona Ryder. Back when all of them were kind Yeah, like, I want to say it was maybe right after The Matrix, so Keanu Reeves was kind of back in his A-game, but, like, the other... Robert Downey Jr. wasn't Iron Man yet. Woody Harrelson wasn't really in anything.
Winona wasn't in Edward Scissorhands yet?
No, she was. It was way after Edward Scissorhands, but it was probably after the whole, like, I think she got caught, like, shoplifting or something, so she was kind of out of the public eye for a while.
Now those actors would have been Woody alone is now big.
I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is Robert one of the biggest actors in the fucking
world. I didn't even think of that. I think he has to be one of the most highest paid actors in the world.
I want to say he was. Not that, I don't know if he is anymore. I know The Rock is.
Really? Yeah. For what, Jumanji?
Dude, that guy's in everything. The movie's that guy gets terrible. Fucking probably like 50. Okay. Probably like $50 million a movie.
You think that's the most... Like, I can't even think of what movies came out recently that would be bigger than that. I heard Christian Bale is coming back as Batman.
Oh, I heard about that too. I also heard he's going to be playing the villain in the next Thor movie.
Oh.
Which is pretty cool.
Oh, I heard they got the new Spider-Man. Or not... Shit. I'll come back to that. Hopefully not another podcast. But they just released... A villain is coming out, and it's with, like, a major actor. I don't remember what his name is at the moment, but I'll come back. That's terrible. Okay. Sorry. But, yes, Christian Bale is coming back. That's awesome.
I did hear it's Batman as well, but I heard they're doing a lot of Batmans in that. They're doing, like, Ben Affleck coming back. I heard Michael Keaton might be coming back. I kind of want...
Michael Keaton is gone after Birdman, wasn't he? I know.
So that's what's cool about it, is they're bringing Michael Keaton back. And I heard... Jeffrey Dean Morgan's going to be playing Batman too, but he played Thomas Wayne in the Batman versus Superman movies, so it's kind of cool. Like, if they're doing Flashpoint.
He's an old man.
Yeah. We're fucking straying off. So, anyway, so the point of the story is Richard Linklater does a lot of movies like that. This was very much what he did early on in his career.
Okay.
He did Slacker, Dazed and Confused, I believe this, and then I believe Suburbia. And, like, all of those movies are pretty much just people hanging out and talking. So it's what he's good at. I think this is his... I mean, Dazed and Confused is fucking really good, but this is probably his best written movie.
Okay.
Of that first, like, quarter of his filmography. I think it's fantastic. So, 12 Angry Men, what'd you think? I'm actually super curious about what you think about 12 Angry Men. I'm going to be honest.
I knew you were.
Here's the thing. Okay, so I know you don't like old movies. I know. Here's the thing, and why I'm excited to hear what you think is, I remember watching this movie when I was younger. I was, like, younger. Young enough to not appreciate older movies.
Okay.
And I just kind of threw this movie just popped on one day and I watched it and I loved it.
Okay.
And maybe that's why I like older movies now, but, like, it's just one of those where I'm like, oh my, it was the first time where I realized that older movies had something to offer. Do you know what I mean? Like...
Well, without all the showboaty, computer animation, green screen, all this shit, this was real conversations, real men having to... That's what's good about old movies. And especially, like, we have one coming up as a Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things you have to appreciate is there's planes flying over the globe and you have to really appreciate it because now you can just, like...
Yeah.
Put a sticker on it.
No, it's true. And you're like, oh, just we'll finish that in post. Like, exactly. That's just, so it's like... Back in the, and I remember, okay, so there's this fantastic YouTube channel called Every Frame a Painting. It's this guy does video essays and just about random things. But one of them is about Buster Keaton. And, like, he was one of the, like, he was a really big silent film actor. But he was, like, very much like Charlie Chaplin or, like, the Three Stooges. Very, like, funny. Like, what he would do was just, like, silly gags, right? But the way it's explained, which I never really thought about until I saw this video, is in order to do stuff like that back then, it's almost like you're doing a magic trick.
That's fair. Like,
you have to fool the audience. You know what I mean? Like, it's very much... And here's the thing. You have the advantage of the camera is there, so I have to get one over just the camera, not a whole audience of people. So, like... But still... Some of the shit is like, you're pulling disappearing acts, you're pulling this, you're pulling that. And that's what I can respect about older movies is, like you said, they didn't have computer animation.
Right.
There's some tricks they can do and stuff, but a lot of it is, you have to be clever.
They had like five men sitting on this camera going, how do we put a plane flying over in motion?
100%. I think Casablanca, so we watched one of the episodes, the last quarter was Casablanca.
Are you talking about that stupid neon light?
No,
you were obsessed with that neon light.
First of all, that was Citizen Kane.
Yes,
that neon
it was.
Light is fucking awesome. That's a great shot. I don't care. No,
I respected it.
Apparently, all of the planes in Casablanca were just model planes, like little model planes, and they used forced perspective or rear projection stuff
to make it
bigger. And I'm like, that's fucking cool,
right? It was on the tarmac.
Yeah. So it's like if you're looking at it from a particular angle, it looks like it's a really big plane that's far away,
right?
But really, it's actually just a really small plane.
And these actors are standing there, and it's like a little thing bigger than their eye.
Yeah, I think it's so clever. Like, you got to be smart. And
right,
actually, that's one thing I respect about the Lord of the Rings movies that came out later. Later than Casablanca. I don't know why I said that.
I don't remember them at all.
But like the Fellowship of the Ring and all of them, to make people look like so.
Hobbits.
So the hobbits were significantly smaller than the wizards, and they did all that just using forced perspective. It's like you put the camera here, you put one actor, like you have a table, you put one actor further away from the camera and one actor closer to the camera. It looks is, it looks like they're sitting across from each other, but one's small and one's big. It's just the way.
I thought they layered it, but they actually filmed the actors together.
Yeah, but it's just cleverly filmed. It's just like, if we do it like this, it looks like they're small and one's large.
See, but those movies came out in the time where you thought they'd be able to like morph it.
100%. But it also came at a time, I'm of the late 90s, early 2000s were really good. It was really bad for really shitty CGI, but it was also really good for a really, really interesting balance of CGI and practical.
Okay.
Like, the one that sticks out to me is Narnia, those Narnia movies.
I've never seen them.
Okay, well, there's these...
Surprise.
Yeah. Well, there's these Narnia movies, and like, there's the one character, I believe he's played by James McAvoy, but he was like a half goat, half like person.
Okay.
And so the top half of him was just heavy makeup. He looked to look like a goat person.
Yeah.
And then his legs were green screened, and then his legs were CGI'd. But I'm to make it look like a goat legs, right? But I'm like, that's perfect. That's like, because these days they would just have a whole CGI monster.
Oh, that's fair.
Do you see what I'm saying?
That's fair.
So,
well, we're back to the whole fucking, sorry to cut you off. In your moment. We're going back to the ET thing where it's like, if you're playing someone who can be filmed or like shot by a handicapped person, why not? Like, why remove the legs off of the person if you could just hire a human?
That's true. But
no legs.
But like, that's also being clever. That's like
with
filming
animatronic legs or something.
Yeah.
They could have done it.
Yeah, they could have. Yeah.
And they could have made the animatronic legs goat legs.
Yeah, for real though. Actually, they could have. Like, so. But anyway, we're straying off. But sorry. So
this is about movies.
Yeah.
At least we're talking about movies. Okay.
I don't remember why we started talking. I don't remember. 12 Angry Men though. Go ahead. Sorry. So I'm very, the fucking point of this rant is I'm very curious what you think of 12 Angry Men. Go ahead.
So I have two directors that I find very, very brilliant. One is Quentin Tarantino and one is Stanley Kubrick.
Okay.
Quentin, of all of his damn movies, there's one that I cannot stand, and I think I've said it before, which is The Hateful Eight. I hated the fact that it's these men sitting in one fucking room talking about nothing. It is a recipe for disaster, and you lose my concentration, you lose my whatever. This movie was fantastic.
Really?
I was so surprised.
I'm
okay.
So,
I'm like, they're at the court, and I'm like, oh, okay, they're going to talk about the court. And they immediately went in the room, and I'm like, okay, so they're going to talk for like half an hour, and it's going to like leave the room. And I'm like, oh, what's happening? Oh, shit, there's another knife? Oh, shit, okay. Oh, shit, the old man. He's right. She was wearing glasses. Like,
yeah.
And man, I wasn't even painting anymore. I'm just staring at my paint is going dry, and I'm just staring at the TV like, oh, my God. Like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I loved it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. That makes me so happy.
I knew you were going to be surprised by that. Because I hate old movies. And I fucking hate movies where they're stuck in a room. It doesn't make sense to me. Panic Room? Fuck off. Like, the whole idea is so stupid. But this movie was great.
I'm glad you enjoyed
all it. All of the conflicting personalities was realistic. Mm-hmm. You have the fucking angry guy who's like, you're wasting my fucking time. Like, let's go. But then there's me, who's the main character. He's like juror number 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
Who's like, I don't think he's guilty. I'm not saying he's not guilty. I'm just trying to give him a fair chance.
And I love that. I think, and I even love, he even says, according to the evidence, like, this guy's really guilty, but we're also sending somebody to the, like,
to the electric chair.
Yeah, to be killed. We should at least give him at least a conversation. Right. Like, we're not going to just immediately vote. Like, and it's true. Like, there are so many conflicting personalities. There's the, like you said, there's the one guy who's all about facts. There's one guy who's all about emotion.
The one guy has a baseball game and he has to go.
I thought
there's the one guy who doesn't really care. There's the one guy who's kind of agreeing with both. There's the old man who's like, I'm going to fucking die. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, all conflicting personalities. So
there's so many, and I love that you brought up the knife, because up until that point, so this isn't really a spoiler, like a super spoiler, but up until that point, they're presenting the evidence and you're like, oh, this motherfucker's guilty.
Right.
And then all of a sudden she pulls out the knife and it's like the biggest boom moment. It was like, oh shit. And he's like, you know where I got that? Around the corner from his house.
For $6.
It's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So honestly, I thought the movie was great. I really, really did. I know it's a recipe for disaster. I don't think I can really say much though.
We'll rate them and then we'll jump into spoilers, because a lot of these movies, even though we talked a lot about Before Sunrise,
there's nothing really like, oh, I kind of said, I guess.
Sure.
There's trilogies.
We'll talk more about it.
There's a trilogy. I didn't spoil anything. Okay. So do you want to start rating them then?
Yeah, let's just rate them and then we'll just fucking go off.
We can go off. So let's do the, I do got to say this before the spoilers. The movie had a, you can spend $337,000 and they only made $2 million.
What's that?
12 Angry Men.
Well, it was also the 50s, right?
Don't boggle down my statistic. That still fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I guess $2 million then is... how much now, I guess,
oh, fuck. Question. It's a lot.
So I guess that's another way to look at it. Okay. And it only took 19 days to film.
I mean, I'm surprised it took 19 days.
Me too.
It's all one room. Me too.
Well, I think it's probably one of those like, no. And apparently it was like day to night, 19 days. Like, it took them that long. Yeah, which really surprised me. But then again, as you know, like when you have that many different people in a room, stuff is always going wrong.
Yeah.
So these two guys fighting is perfect, but the guy in the background is doing something stupid and you're like, all right, man, like, you're not supposed to be doing that.
And that is true, actually. So there is,
you're
that
talking is 12 different people
doing 12 different things at all
that's
times.
A lot.
And like, that's 12 different sets of like blocking, and like
they have like four different cameras because they're always cutting out.
And I do like that the camera moves around the room pretty freely. Like, they'll be talking to somebody and then they'll pull over to the window and that guy's like hot. So he's like,
right,
I'm fucking opening this window. You know what I mean? Like, and the one guy's checking the fan and like, there's
and
a lot of
it's raining and they're talking about the buildings. And the one guy's in the bathroom and one guy storms on. You're like, all right, man, like, there's a lot going on. So, okay. So let's go by the power.
Power! I got the power!
We're going to make this a thing. So, production.
I got the power!
Power.
Production.
Unfortunately, I think it's kind of
Here's the thing.
It's unfairly because they're going all over the city.
Yeah, but it's not like they're doing anything in the city. They're just, I personally...
The men are literally doing nothing, though.
But we just went over, like, the blocking. Like, production doesn't just have to be sets and stuff. It could be, like how it's filmed. Yeah, like, how it's filmed, everything, right? I personally
That's fair.
I'm going to say Before Sunrise, but I do agree with what you're saying. I don't... No.
So you say Before Sunrise?
Yes.
Because I do too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So originality.
I'm gonna actually say 12 Angry Men.
See, this is hard because there are jail movies and there are love stories.
I mean,
now there are a lot more love stories, and because I didn't fall in love with the characters, I'm gonna say 12 Angry Men because I did get pissy with when the guys got pissy.
Okay.
So I'll give originality 12 Angry Men.
Okay.
Writing. 12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men.
There can't be.
Definitely. Although we did fucking gush a lot about how it seemed like it wasn't written at all. And that's how well it's written, right?
Which one?
Before Sunrise.
No, the movie was terrible. I said that in a bad way. I was like, you let them talk like that? Like, about nothing? That's up to you. All if you right. want to switch your vote,
no,
you can.
No, no, no. It's cool. I'll give you the 12 Angry Men.
So
acting's gonna go top argument too.
Acting
to be
is
yeah.
going to, and then
rewatchability. I'd probably give that to Before Sunrise. It doesn't matter. Okay,
top argument wins.
It does.
Right. But sorry, but come on.
I do like Before Sunrise a lot, though. I think it's a good flick.
So I guess that's it. And
yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk a little.
We'll
more
talk a lot more because I got stuff, and I don't want to. I know the knife kind of came out, and I kind of wanted to put that back in my mouth.
I know. So. Well, here's the thing, yeah, but it's kind of the first quarter of the movie,
yeah.
So that's like the first big reveal. So,
right.
No, I'm cool. All right, next to spoilers. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
I saw another guy on TikTok who had more movies than you. A lot more. Like triple the amount.
Did I show you the...
And he does color-coded, which is weird. So they're like, for example, like, do you have The Matrix? And he's like, that would be black. And he goes in the black section. I'm like, what the fuck? Why?
Yeah, that is weird. I like it's like I went to a comic book shop recently, and oh, it wasn't recently, it was before the pandemic, so but
all a year and a half ago, it was last week. It felt like last week.
By the way, I was looking for a book, and I was like, I'm looking in like the like it was like I think it was like an N like name. I'm looking in the N section, and it's not there. And then I ended up asking somebody, and I'm like, hey, what's I'm looking for this book, and they're like, oh, that's in the adventure section. You're in the sci-fi section, and I was like. Why can't you just have this alphabetical order like a normal person? Like, what the fuck? Why are you fucking
with
me?
Well, so, I don't mean to, like, blow your brain hole. I know we're going a little off topic, but there are little cue cards that you can find in the section. It's all alphabetical, and they'll tell you what section your book is in.
I wasn't in a fucking library, first of all.
Okay, sorry.
I was in a comic book store.
Yeah, okay, you did say that. I was like, you were just in a library. She should have directed you to that. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it should all be a comic book.
Yeah, it's like, just
you couldn't put them all in alphabetical.
And I guess, like, if I feel like a sci-fi book, I'm going to go look in the sci-fi section.
Are the comics at least alphabetical or like...
Yeah. So they're in alphabetical order as...
Green Lantern and Superman are, you know, sci-fi.
Yeah.
But Batman is... It's like, fuck off.
It's not that ridiculous. I'm pretty sure that just falls under superhero. There's a lot of graphic novels that aren't superhero related. So like they... It's fucking... We're restrained. Anyway, I'm very fucking happy that you like 12 Angry Men. I'm so happy you enjoyed that movie.
I unfortunately liked it so much, I had to tell Dylan about it. And you could see he did not care. Where he was like, okay. I'm like, no, listen to me. You have to watch it.
It's so, he's like, it's okay. So funny. Me and Melissa had the exact same thing happen. I just watched the movie, and we were in a drive-thru. We weren't fucking doing anything, and she was still trying to find other things to do. She was just like, yeah,
oh,
okay.
What a beautiful sign over there.
I'm just going to count my change now. Don't mind me.
Yeah. which I really, really appreciated for this, I found out this fun fact, was that he was only... Okay, I gotta read the paragraph. I can't really say it. He was only the third person to ever get Best Director nomination for a debut film.
Oh.
And this was the film.
Really?
So I'm actually very, very happy with that.
So this was a debut movie.
Which one of our past movies was the first winner, which is Citizen Kane.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, I don't know if it was the winner, but
it was nominated.
It wasn't the winner.
No, no. It won for screenplay. It didn't win for...
And then Delbert Mann... One for Marty. I don't know what Marty is.
Oh.
I guess it's an old movie, Marty. And then 20 directors since then have either been nominated or won for their debut. But this was his debut.
I can think of maybe two or three, not many. I can think of like
six.
Damien
have one.
Chazelle won for or he was nominated for Whiplash, won for La La Land. So,
so it just says 14 nominated, 6 won.
Nice.
But yeah, I thought that was a really fun fact. And actually it kind of showed. So like, and I loved how clever it was that they didn't tell you anything about it and you had to find out along the movie.
As you're going. And that's
that was so clever.
Cause it, yeah. So, okay.
He could have said it in the first 15 minutes of the movie. And they could have just said everything and then went.
No, that's what made it so good, right? So it's like right off the bat, it's like, okay. And okay. I thought it was super clever that the first thing they show you is the kid. Like the guy,
right.
The
he's
kid's
a young
so
kid.
Young and it's just like, okay. And then it's like, okay. So then everybody's like, okay, like, sorry, I keep saying okay. Oof. Everybody is like, all right, let's take a vote. So everybody says guilty. And then one guy says innocent. And then he's like, I feel like we owe this guy a conversation. And then, so the audience, me personally, I was like, yeah, this guy fucking definitely is owed a conversation. Right. If it was me, I'd be pissed if everybody just went in like, ah, fuck, I got a baseball game to go to, guilty. You know what I mean? And then you start hearing the evidence and you're like, oh, this motherfucker's guilty. And then he busts out the knife.
The knife.
As soon as he busts out the knife, because I was at the point where I'm just like, okay, yeah, this guy's fucking guilty. You're not going to convince me. And then he fucking sticks the knife in the table.
Right.
And I was actually like, oh, shit. Like, I jumped out of my chair.
Whole body reaction.
Jumped out of my chair like, oh, my God. And there was at least three moments in the movie that were like that.
Right.
Where it's like, you have me. And then
the train had me.
Yeah.
Where I was like, well, he does have a point. And then it was like, wait, she wears glasses. And my boyfriend wears glasses. So I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, I definitely know Dill does not have his glasses anywhere near him in the bed. I know that.
100%. And then the other one for me was the dude sweating. They make a point to say, he's like, I never sweat. He's like,
right.
I'm cool, calm all the time. And then it cuts to his head and you just see the one bead
right.
of sweat. And you're just like, oh, shit, he's sweating it. Like,
well, we got to talk about one of the most important scenes was whenever the one guy gets all pissed off and he's like, you can fucking do your pacing around the room and you could do this, but the kid's still fucking guilty. And then whatever, the main character, juror number 10 or whatever,
yeah.
starts screaming at him. And the guy just instinctively by accident goes, man, don't fuck with, like, I will fucking kill you. And that was the whole point of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Was the kid is guilty because he said to his dad, I'll fucking kill you. And the main actor was like, do you actually want to kill me? And when that happened, you could see the guy kind of sit down. And that was when I went,
oh shit.
Like, oh shit. This is, because I say it as a joke. I don't say, and the guy says it. He's like, we say it as a joke all the time. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'll fucking kill you. Look at your dog. Oh, I'll fucking kill you. Say it to my cat every day.
100%.
But like,
and even like the whole thing where it's like, if he killed his dad, why the fuck would he come back?
Why would he come back?
Like, and it's like the police are there. Why would he come back?
Right.
And it's like there are so many little things. And it's like, and I love the idea that it's like, oh, it just really shows like witness testimony could be like fragile, right?
Right.
It could be like, hey, maybe she wasn't wearing glasses. And I love the idea that the defense lawyer would have known that. But he chose not to say anything.
But he chose not to say anything.
And like, and I like the idea. It's like, well, it's, and then I think the main villain, the guy who's very angry,
yeah.
the last to turn.
Yeah. Whose kid or whatever. He had problems with his son or
yeah.
whatever. Yeah.
So I think he was the one who said like, it's not my fault he had a shitty lawyer.
Right.
Kind of thing. And it's like, but he did it. Like, it's one of those things, like the judicial system, right? It's like, I guess you could just have a shitty lawyer and that's what.
But it could also be like the movie, The Social Network. We're
yeah.
not going to get into really far into it, but there's this one specific scene and it matches this movie perfectly. Whenever he goes, that's not true. And the defense lawyer, or like the lawyer goes, well, she said under oath. And
like,
Jesse Eisenberg says, you can go
yeah,
ahead.
I guess that's the first time someone's lied under oath then.
It's true
yeah.
though, but that's how quick it is.
Yeah.
It's like this old man was like, oh yeah, I heard it. Just because, oh, wait, it was under oath?
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a... What the fuck does that mean, under oath?
No, it's because true.
Because you can get a... Who cares? No one's going to look in to see if you didn't lie.
Yeah.
No one gives a fuck. But yeah, so that was really, really intense. And also another thing I do want to bring up. Last night, I watched the movie Becky.
Oh, you watched it?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
So
I haven't watched it yet.
I know we talked about it in the last, I think, episode of the podcast. Yeah. Because Kevin James is like the Nazi whitehead.
It was the Notebook episode.
The Notebook. About it, yeah. And he was like the Nazi whitehead bad guy. Yeah. And it fucks you up because it's Kevin James, right? Yeah. And you're just like, this is weird. I can honestly say, I'm not under oath, but I can honestly say, I do not know what the girl's name is. I don't know what any other actor's names are except for Kevin James. Yet I know the father because he's a main actor. He's a normal actor in life.
I know Joel McHale plays the father.
I don't know what his name is. Take that into consideration when you talk about when the kid says, I don't even know what movie. I don't know what actors were in the movie. I just watched that movie 24 hours ago. And I have no fucking clue what the main girl's name is.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, to be fair, I know Kevin James is in it, but I don't know who that guy is. I can't even think of a movie the actor is in, the dad.
And here's the thing, too. Like, this was also going back to the 50s. This was before we even had home video.
We didn't have Wikipedia.
The fucking internet.
We didn't have social media. We didn't have magazines. We didn't have
all
these televisions and movies, all these movies coming out with Kevin James in them.
Yeah.
I only know because I saw Kevin James live a few years ago. It's the only reason I know Kevin James is.
100%, yeah. So that's the thing. Like, yeah, like, you when you saw a movie, it was the only time you were ever going to see that movie.
And
unless it came back around. Yeah, so... Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Okay, go ahead, sorry.
No, that's even this movie. I can't name one actor, but I can name the
only
the title.
Henry Fonda is the only one, but he's the main juror, the one who like says he thinks he's innocent.
Yeah, because it was hard for me to understand the names of all the men because they didn't have names.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, juror number one name is this, juror number two is this, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm not gonna remember these names. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are. But yeah, so I did want to say that. So when I watched Becky and then I went back to this movie and I thought about that, I'm like, oh, well, I can now understand where the kid was coming from not remembering.
See, it's unfortunate. I actually know a lot of actors, so I can't put myself into that perspective. But 100%, right. Like, there are a lot of people in this world who are like, I'm like, oh, who was in that movie? It was so-and-so? And they're like, oh, yeah, I have no idea who that is. Like,
I could tell you what other movie they were in.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you actors' names, no way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so honestly, I thought the movie was excellent. So coming from me, I fucking hate old movies. Watch it. This movie is fantastic. I mean, you're in the spoiler, so you should have already watched
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you were right. When that knife hit the table, that was whenever I got really into it.
Yeah, you're like, oh, shit. Because every single piece of evidence is like, okay.
He bought a knife.
It was super original. He bought it that afternoon, and it was found in his dad's chest. Like, there was just so much. Somebody saw him do it. Somebody heard him yell, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
It's just like...
And then there was the one guy who was like, he's guilty, but then he came from a city, which was bad for, you know, violence, and their number one weapon is switchblades.
Yeah.
So even though he said the kid was guilty, he came up with the switchblade, and he's like, listen, they would never go in a downward. They always go up.
Yeah.
He's like, which means they don't use these.
Yeah.
And so whenever you hear that and you're like, oh, shit, now he's disproving himself. And then he went to not guilty.
Yeah, because he's the third to go not guilty, right? Because like, but I don't remember. You know right off the bat, because he's like, do you mind if I pass right off the bat?
Right. And to be fair, like I watched, did you ever watch Making a Murderer?
No, you know, I kind of did. Not really. I didn't watch the whole thing, but a lot of people talk about how great it is. I just haven't.
So like, it is real that all the jurors do have to actually be on one side. That is real.
Yeah.
That's still real to this day. The problem with how this happens is there is 11 people, and if they kept fighting and fighting and fighting and no one was moving, they could actually kick out the 12th person and just bring in someone else. That is what happens.
Really?
So when you're watching Making a Murderer, this is real. When you're watching Making a Murderer, the only reason how you know what happened in the juror room is because of all these former jurors. And there's a bunch of them. And he's like, I said he wasn't guilty. We fought for 12 hours. They didn't move. I didn't move. They kicked me out. Brought in someone else. And that person, not guilty, they got kicked out. Brought someone else. And then at the end, the last person was like, no, he's guilty. And that's how he was guilty.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's whenever you have a standstill and no one's, because I'm a stubborn bitch. If I don't want to be guilty, I'm not going to be guilty.
No, fuck that. No, but, I'm the same way.
So we're talking me and 11 of me. We're not going to get anywhere. So it's kind of like, what do you do? While in 12 Angry Men, once the second guy flipped, you were like, okay, now we have a problem.
Yeah. But it's funny because the second guy was the older gentleman, right?
Right.
But it's almost like he flipped because he agreed more that he deserved a conversation.
That he deserved a conversation.
Yeah. Like, he's like, you know right. what? I'm on this guy's side just because I don't want him to feel alone almost.
Well, it was when the one guy said, I'm not saying he's not guilty.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he deserves a... That was whenever the old man flipped.
Yeah. And then it's the third guy, right. the one with the switchblade that you right. were just talking about, where he's like, no, not guilty. It's as soon as he turns that you realize, oh, this guy is going to fucking right. just start, like, this ball has started rolling. You know what I mean? And then it's like the guy in the corner says not guilty. And then before you know it, it's like, eight to three, and then out of nowhere it was like 6-6. And
you're eight
like,
to four.
Whatever. Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah, 8-4, and then it was like 6-6. And you're like, holy shit! Like, this is fucking. And once you hit 6-6, it's like, oh my god! Like
we're turning.
Yeah, this could go either right. way. Like, yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah, and it's really really sad, but that is real. Now that's in the States. I don't know about Canada laws. I don't know about our laws, but that is in the States, and that is real. So 12 Angry Men, two fucking big ass thumbs up.
I'm so happy.
I am very surprised. Happy. Trust me. It is probably my top 20 favorite movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably. I'm glad you enjoyed it that
maybe
much.
Even
that
more. Maybe even happy. Top 15.
That's yeah. awesome. That makes
I gotta count what's my top 10. It might have reached top 10, but I doubt it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
The movie was awesome.
I've unfortunately never seen any of the remakes.
Neither have
I almost don't want to ruin it. That's my issue.
I almost actually, because I messaged you earlier and I was like, please tell me I was supposed to watch 1957 because I know you said, oh, there's two old movies coming up.
Yeah.
So I watched one and I was like, okay, this has to be the other one because there's a newer one. It's like 1990s.
97, I want to say.
So I was like, oh no. So I didn't watch it either.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch it now because I liked this.
Right. One. I think it'd be, yeah.
It's like The Lion King. Don't watch it because you got ruined.
It'll ruin it.
Yeah. So I'm not going to watch it personally.
Yeah.
But the movie was excellent. I loved it. I don't know who the director is. Sidney Lumet.
Yeah, Sidney Lumet.
I don't know who that is, but good for you.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was Sidney Lumet's first movie, eh? Oh, interesting.
That was, his debut. Apparently, allegedly, from Mental Floss, which I love mentalfloss.com.
Oh, nice.
That's where all the fun facts come from. Mental Floss.
Okay, let's show some love to Before Sunrise, just a little bit.
I know, because they're leaving.
Yeah, you know.
They're leaving. By the way, the two German couples in the beginning were arguing about each other being an alcoholic.
Yeah, I did. I read that, actually.
I didn't know what language they were speaking, but I should have put Siri up to the TV to transcribe it.
Apparently, going back to the director, Richard Linklater, apparently this movie was actually based off of a real event that happened to him. Apparently he met this girl in Philadelphia, and the two of them walked around Philadelphia and just spent the night together like this and just like got to know each other. But it was before he was like famous. Right. Just like, and then it always stuck with him. And they never exchanged numbers or anything. It was
That's what should have happened.
Yeah. They never exchange numbers, and then, they don't exchange numbers either at the end, but they make the plan.
They say 6 months from now.
Yeah. Okay. So.
But their whole plan up until the last 30 seconds was to not, but anyways,
let's go. So apparently the same thing. They like go their separate ways, and it always stuck with him, and he didn't know, he only knew her name was Amy. And he never, like, so he ended up making Before Sunrise to, like, get her to call him in a way. Like, he just wanted to, like, know, like, what happened to this girl. Never.
Of course, the movie only made $5 million, right. So it didn't go anywhere.
But it was pretty popular. Like, but nothing ever, no, nothing, blah, blah, blah.
What a bitch.
Right? And then in, it's funny you say that. in 2010, he ended up making Before Midnight, which was the third one. And a friend of hers got a hold of him. It was like, hey, I was actually a friend of Amy's. She actually died in a car accident like a year after you guys met. It's like a weird, just so you know, kind of thing.
Well, now I'm a dick. Yeah. Can you cut me out, please?
But
no.
Isn't that a bummer, though? It's like, but isn't that interesting also? Like that idea that, like, it's almost like.
If they were together,
if you would have never heard that from that friend, to you she's still alive. Isn't that so that's such interesting
right. to
like,
you she,
philosophical
she could have been married with kids and she could have moved on.
Yeah, it's like the
There's the box.
I know exactly the cat in the box. Cat right? in the box. You put the poison in the box with a cat.
Is the cat alive or dead? Closed.
Yeah, the cat's still alive, technically, until you actually observe the cat being dead.
I'm trying to think of
The Big Bang Theory is what?
Wurschheimer. Oh, I forget the scientist's name. Yeah. I can't pronounce it, but yes. Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, isn't it Schroeder?
Schrodinger's cat. That's what it is, Schrodinger's cat. Yeah, that's very interesting. No, I'm an asshole. Yeah, like the idea of doing that. Well, it's like the song Summer of 69. Isn't that what it is? Summer of 69, whatever. It's like a whole love ballad. And he's like, we were smoking things all the time. We were drinking. But I never, it was just the summer we were together and you left. And I never seen you since.
No.
And it's like an interesting song. I hope that's what it is, Summer of 69. But yeah, there are so many movies like that. That's so sad.
I'm very curious. Okay. So you've never seen Before Sunset. So
I have not. Before Midnight.
So let's just get those out of your head. Those don't exist.
Okay.
Okay. I'm very curious. Do you think they get together or not? Do you think they both show up 6 months?
I would have.
Do you think they do?
I would have.
Both of them? Do you think they show up? Yeah. Okay. And do you think that's what happens in like the sequel?
No. That would have been too easy. No, maybe. See, I think it's going to be one of those like, I thought you said the 25th. And then it's like a day later or something. But I honestly, boyfriend or not, I would have actually went to the spot.
Me too. I actually thought the same thing.
I think for the story.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that person that doesn't show up.
Right.
So I would be like, man, I'm here. I got a boyfriend. Stay away from me. But. Yeah, the guy's Jesse, he was fine for the first while, but exact scene that turned me off from him, and then I thought, no, she would have left him right there, was the palm reader.
Yeah.
That would have been the moment where I would have said, you know, you had me. You know, you could have actually got somewhere, but now he was so, and I can't stand people that are like that. Who are just so aggressive to tell you their opinion.
I agree.
Like, it's like, dude, I'm being fun. I just want to have a good time. I don't care if I'm being a child. Read my palm. Like, I know it's not fucking real, asshole. It's my palm.
Yeah.
But like, just like, don't, why ruin that? And it's him going on and on. And then what you said about the poem. And it's like, obviously, he didn't fucking sit on that rock and write that dumbass. Mm. It's just the moment. It's cute.
It is cute. I think it's a very cute. I would love to like encounter a poet like that.
I think it would have been adorable. But I fucking hate people that are like that.
Yeah, I do agree.
So, unfortunately, that was whenever the whole movie kind of fell apart where I was like, this would have never happened.
Yeah, I think
she would have been turned off. The whole love scene. Then again, they did drink a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
So that could make things happen.
It's actually very funny because I think there's another moment where on the opposite end of the spectrum with her, when she's telling that story in the bar about how she got broken up with and she told some therapist about how she was going to kill him.
Right.
And like just end like a story. And then the therapist called the police. Hearing that story out loud, I'd be like, maybe I shouldn't spend the night with this girl.
But she says that because she's like, and this is where I turned you off. And he's like, actually, you didn't. Yeah.
Yeah,
I just think he was way too aggressive. And I just didn't like that.
It's actually very funny. I think, I do agree.
Like, I'm spending one night with you. You want to get in a fight? Really? Yeah. Like, we agree to whatever each other says. Let's have a good night, whatever. And, no, I'll ask you after. Well, this is a spoiler section, so let's spoil it.
Yeah.
Did he ever pay the bar? Do they ever say it in Before Sunrise? Or Before Sunset?
I don't know. I feel like they do bring it up. I don't think.
Oh, in Before Sunrise. Or Before Sunset.
Before Sunset. I think they bring it up.
I've been wondering that because they never said it. And I'm just wondering.
No. So, actually, to clarify, he actually does show up 6 months later, but she doesn't.
What a bitch. This is when you tell me she died.
She actually died 5 months later.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
No. So Before Sunset, it takes place 10 years later.
Whoa.
And it's about, he's a writer and he wrote this book about this night. Just exactly the way that
the movie
this,
was?
This guy made this movie about this girl because he wants this girl to call him. Okay. It's the same thing. He wrote this book because he wants this girl to call him. And he's doing a worldwide tour and he's in France. And she shows up because she lives in France. She lives like around the corner from him. So she shows up. And the thing that's cool about Before Sunset is... So she shows up to the book reading right off the bat. He's like, hey, like, how the fuck you been kind of thing.
Oh,
like,
he knows her.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they recognize each other immediately. And then he's like, listen, I have an hour and a half until I have to catch a plane. Do you want to go get some coffee? And she's like, yeah, okay. Or maybe she asks him. But either way, the entire movie takes place over the course of that hour and a half. So it's an hour and a half
long. You're in real time.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half long movie. And
it's kind of cool.
I think it's really cool. But yeah, so like, and right off the bat, she's like, you didn't show up, did you? And he's like, no, of course not. You didn't, right? And then but it's not a spoiler only because you find out pretty quickly after that. She's like, oh my God, you did show up. And he's like, oh yeah, but she has a reason why she didn't show up, but still. But anyway.
What a fucking asshole. No, I call bullshit because they had pictures of that night together.
Yeah.
Because he's like, be a model. And she like modeled. Man, if I ever looked at my best friend or any of my family members, my sister, anybody, and said, dude, you have to be at the spot, find this guy, and tell him, I'm sorry I can't be here.
Yeah, especially because you live...
A train ride away.
Yeah, you don't live so close, but you live close enough.
Then he says like, that. I'll buy your train, I'll buy your hotel.
That'd be like somebody from Europe coming over here and us having to go to Quebec or something. You know what I mean? Right. Or like fucking New York City. It's like, it's close enough to where it's like, I feel like I could do this in a day. It wouldn't take me a long time to do.
I don't think she deserved anything because of that reason.
Yeah.
You could have easily, I know if I gave you and Melissa a free train ride and a free hotel, you guys would have went for me.
It's true.
And I would have said, dude, help me out. Don't like bring him home or anything. Find this guy and tell him, I'm sorry I can't be here. Don't say anything else and walk away.
Yeah.
Like, his name is Jesse.
I know we talk a lot about How I Met Your Mother, but I just fucking watched this episode the other day. You're pretty much saying we should do the, he's not coming.
Barney? Yeah. He said he was going to be here. He said exactly one year.
He's not coming.
You know what? I thought of How I Met Your Mother during this, which is terrible. I know we got to stop talking about it. Is whenever the one part where they're like, we have to say goodbye. And I'm like, well, you could have done the fucking Victoria. Whenever she's like, close your eyes and count to 10.
I love that
And he
moment.
Thought she was going to kiss him. And then he opened his eyes and she was gone.
I love that moment.
That's how you stay away from the goodbye.
But I do love the reveal as well with Elizabeth. Victoria.
Yeah. Victoria. Who's Elizabeth?
I don't know. I always think her name's Elizabeth.
No. Victoria. Yeah. That was good. Yeah, the tie-in. But yeah, I actually thought of How I Met Your Mother too. Because they said that in the movie. And they're like, let's say goodbye now. And he's like, bye. Au revoir.
Yeah, later.
And it's like, this is fucking cheesy. Okay.
I like that. I think my favorite part in the whole movie is when they're listening to music in the box. And it goes on for an uncomfortably long time.
They're just staring at each other. Yeah, like, but this is weird.
It starts out like, okay. And then it's uncomfortable. And then weirdly, it's cute to me. But yeah.
Yeah, it's gone. Sorry. Not sorry.
It's okay. It's one of... two Richard Linklater movies on this list, so maybe the second one will fare better.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Is that anything? Is that it?
I think that's it. 12 Angry Men. We carry on, man.
I'm fucking so excited that you liked this movie.
Dude, it was good.
Good.
I'm so, glad. Yeah, that's it. Sorry if you wanted...
Before Sunrise?
Before Sunrise, sorry. But as you just said, there's another chance coming up.
Yeah, another Richard Linklater chance. Yeah, for sure. So, cool. That's it. That's all.
Bye.